This sermon is simply called When You Need a Song. And I don't think there's a single person in this room that hasn't come to a point at some time in their life when you need a song. And it might be like the songs we were singing here this morning. I'm hungry. I'm falling for you, Lord. Lord, be in my life. I'm desperate for you. I mean, those kind of songs. Might not be a religious or a Christian song at all. Might be other kinds of songs. I was thinking I was going to ask you guys what your favorite songs were. But if I did that, you'd tell me the name of somebody that I had not had a clue who they are. So, but I know you guys are into music. You guys are into music, right? Oh, you'll never sit in the front row again ever, will you? You know? They have favorite songs, and so do you. There comes a time, many times, in my life and your life when you need a song. Sometimes the scriptures, a portion of the psalm says, he gives us songs in the night. And what that passage is talking about, those times when your heart's just breaking, when you're feeling all alone, or when life is just really tough, and you just need a song to hang on to, to help you move through the night. You know what I'm saying? So this sermon is simply called When You Need a Song, and it's kind of designed a little bit in mind for what we've been doing here today with the child dedication. Let me pray for this, but also for you, that God would use this time in a unique and powerful way. See, I can prepare the sermon. That's like, like somebody taking a cookbook and preparing a meal. But what makes the meal tasty, what makes the meal attractive, beautiful, useful, is the way the Holy Spirit comes into your mind and your hearts. And that has to happen because I can't do that. So I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and do just exactly that. And your part in that contract is to say, yes, Holy Spirit, if you've got something that you want to say to me this morning, I'm all ears. Help me hear you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you now for this time. And Father, I just ask that as we look at this passage of the scriptures in the Bible, that you'd help me to think clearly and then help me to speak clearly. Take the words from my mouth to your people's ears, and from their ears as they hear it to their minds, and from their minds to their hearts. Holy Spirit, I can't do that, but you can. And you do it every day of our life. You whisper to us constantly. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to us, even through this word, even through this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think songs have got a way of speaking to others and to God the thoughts that go deep. In fact, so many of the songs we sing are us speaking to others. I mean, just think about it. For Sam and Ashley and James and April and other of you young parents here, there's lullabies. You know, when it's 2 a.m. and they have got colic and it is just a tough, it's a lullaby. That's what comes in. Maybe for you more than them. But a lullaby. Sometimes it's love songs. And the radio today and media is just full of love songs, all kinds of love songs. There's anthems. Every time you watch Hockey Night in Canada, you see this fervor. If you watch the Olympics, there was anthems. You can see the gold medal winner standing on the center dais and the flag of the country being raised and Oh Canada playing. There's a swelling sense of passion, emotion through the music of anthems. Even birthday songs. Yeah, even birthday songs. I was going through Tim Hortons this week, and the girl at the checkout at Tim Hortons, I said, can I have one of your little cardboard drink trays? And she said, yes, if you sing me a song. I wasn't ready. So I just blurted out, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You know, she smiled. She let me go. She gave me the drink tray. You know, songs, they unite people. Songs are powerful. But greater than these songs that we use to speak to one another are the songs that we use to speak to God. Songs that express our faith. Songs that speak our theology. In other words, what is it you believe about God? Every one of you in this room has theology, even though you might say, I don't even know what that word means. Well, you have certain beliefs that you would hold to be pretty true about what you would think about who God is. You have a theology. Even if you don't believe in God, whatever, that God doesn't exist, that's still theology. That's still a statement of belief about God. Everybody in this room has some aspect of theology. And when we sing our beliefs in songs, sometimes that is a way of just really being a powerful expression of my love, of your love for God. Sometimes we need a song to say what other words can't seem to reach. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, before I was a Christian, you know, some of the music that was really big in my life was non-Christian music. And some of my favorite bands back then were bands like the Eagles. And so you'd see these old songs, and these old songs would sort of evoke these memories like an old photo album. And they would say things that words couldn't quite say. Maybe songs saying what words can't quite say through our normal thinking is why God chose to use the largest portion of this thing we call the Bible. The largest section in it is a songbook. Go figure. The largest portion of the entire Bible is right dead smack in the middle in a book in the Bible called the Psalms. And the Psalms are huge. I mean, they started being written in about 300 AD, so 200 or 300 years after the death of Christ. Some of these Psalms were being recorded and written down, although they occur much earlier in time. Do you remember? Remember in that passage, it's in John 17 and John 18, where they do the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper? You familiar with that image? The Lord basically breaks bread and the cup and gives it to them. And then it says this, right at the end of that, it says, and after they had sung a song, they went out. They sang songs back then as part of their expression of worship. And probably what they sang was a psalm. Psalms that were written 500, 700, 1,000 years before the days of Jesus. And now here they are for us too. The Psalms have got a unique place in the Scriptures. An early church leader by the name of Athanasius, I don't expect you to remember that guy's name, he said this. He said, the Psalms have a unique place in the Bible because most of the Scripture speaks to us while the Psalms speak for us. I tell you, you just have to read some of David's songs. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. He wrote that song after he'd committed adultery with a woman. And he was the king of the land. He could do whatever he wanted. And what does he do? He chooses the wife of another man and chooses to bring her in and seduce her and sleep with her. And then arranges for her husband to be killed in battle so that he can marry her. And then he realizes what he has done. And he writes, create me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. He knows what he's done. And he writes a song to describe this incredible experience. Do not think that the Bible is made up of stainless steel Stanleys. Guys who are just, you know, perfect in every way. Or these beautiful women who are completely sinless. The Proverbs 31 women. They are not. You do any kind of Bible study, you're going to find these men and women of the Bible are messed up people, which is really good news because we're messed up people and we get a chance to connect with them. I mean, I just told you about King David, adulterer, murderer, yeah. And yet here he is, one of the heroes of the Old Testament. It's amazing how God uses songs. The book of Psalms, that song book in the Bible, the largest book of the Bible, it was written over a huge period of time. Some of them were written 1,400 years before Christ, 1,000 years before Christ, 400 or 500 years before Christ. I mean, a huge amount of time, you know, in between there. 1,000 years of history. Where were you 1,000 years ago? That's a long way back. And yet, those songs were sung again and again and again. Some of the songs Shirley picked this morning were written in 1960. And we think that was old. These songs they used again and again as part of their worship service. Various authors of these songs were guys like Moses and David and Solomon, Asaph, sons of Korah, Ezra, and a bunch of other guys we don't even know. And there's even psalms that aren't in the book of Psalms, like the song of Miriam, Moses' sister. They make it through the Red Sea and the sea parts and they get through and Pharaoh's coming. You remember that whole story?